Well, he's so very good to us, and we have very, very much to be thankful for. We're going to get back into our study on being ambassadors for Christ, and I'm excited about the opportunity that we have to learn together how to do this work of evangelism. I think sharing the gospel with somebody else is one of the most obviously most important things we can do as Christians, but I think it's one of the most beautiful things, most joyful things that we could do. Just real quick survey, how many of you have ever had that chance to just talk to somebody else about Jesus, like tell them the gospel? I mean, in those moments, do you just get excited? I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I get scared, nervous, all that stuff. But I mean, just once I really start talking about Jesus, when I start talking to somebody about who he is and what he's done for me, I just can't help. Like, I'm happy. Right. I'm thinking about who he is and what he's done, and I'm overjoyed to be able to share that. And in my heart, have that hope, right? That earnest hope to see that this person I'm talking to is going to trust Jesus as their Savior. It's just an awesome thing to be a part of, and I'm thankful for our Savior giving us that chance. So if you're able, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again, and let's stand if you can as we pray and then we read the Word. And these verses need to soak down into our hearts and minds as we hear them again. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's pray, and then we'll read beginning at verse 17. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to gather with the saints this afternoon. I pray for those that aren't able to be with us. We pray especially for those who are sick and hurting this morning. God, just please give them grace and be with them. But for those who are gathered and those who are watching, I pray that you'll work in our hearts today, that your Holy Spirit would convict us, that you'll remind us of the reality of heaven and hell and the only hope of the gospel, and just help us to learn this afternoon how that we can be effective in sharing the gospel with other people. And I pray you'll bless your word. I pray your Spirit would convict us, guide us into all truth. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Please be seated. So as we look at this once again, we remember today that if you're in Christ, you are a new creature. Amen. The old man has passed away. He's crucified, and you're a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything's unto him. Everything's of him, by him, through him, and to him. And he's reconciled us to himself. And remember these two phrases. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, and he's also given us the word of reconciliation. So we started this study trying to understand our identity in as ambassadors, who is an ambassador of Christ, and what their message is. And our message is the gospel. So can somebody define biblically for me what the gospel is this afternoon? It's good news. The words euangelion, evangelism, we get evangelism from euangelion, gospel, which is the good news. And the good news is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, he tells us, he died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, every time we talk about this at church, Brother Steve points out, it's really important you understand that it's according to the scriptures. Amen. You got to remember, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But listen, he is as he's revealed himself to us in the scriptures. Amen. Not he is how you think he is. He is how you've imagined him to be. He is how you want him to be in your own heart. No, he is as he's shown himself in the scriptures. Amen. And so we come back to it. We got to know what the Bible says, and we got to share what the Bible says. So today, a couple weeks ago, we learned our identity and what our message is, the gospel. And then last time we talked about our character, the character of a ambassador. It's important for the vessel that carries the good news to be clean. We understand that he's made us vessels to carry his word, and it's important. First of all, you can't carry it unless the inside of the cup's been made clean. That's in salvation, but he also wants the outside of the cup to be clean too. This morning, I encourage you guys to, the Bible word for it's hospitality and fellowship, just to say, hey, why don't you guys come over? We'll spend some time together, whatever. But if I invited you to my house and I cook some good food, right? Melissa cooked up something really good, and I got a dirty plate to serve it to you on. I'm like, hold on, let me get a plate out of the dirty dishwasher. Like, that wouldn't be cool, would it? You probably wouldn't want to eat it. If you go to a restaurant and you get your cup, right? They bring it to you, they pour you sweet tea because all good Christians drink sweet tea. You guys are killing me. I know, man, I'm trying so hard. I work extra hard on Sunday afternoons to try to keep you guys awake and rewarded with nothing. Crickets. One of these days, Dave's going to get one of those cricket sound effects and play it over the speaker. Please don't. That was a joke. Don't do that. Okay, whatever you get. You sit down at the restaurant, you order your favorite drink, you sit down, they bring it out to you, and it's got lipstick on the outside of the cup. Is that cool? That is not cool. No, you don't want that. Because what's inside might be delicious. It might be sweet tea. It might be Dr. Pepper. Nothing. You guys are killing me. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, like I'm trying. Whatever it is. Josiah's back there. Say milk. But no matter what's inside, no matter how good it is, if the outside of the cup is dirty, you don't want that. So we learned last week that it's important for us as vessels, as ambassadors for Christ, as messengers for Jesus, that we are clean, we're made clean. Now, we're going to fall, we're going to stumble, but guess what? If the cup's dirty, you can put it in the dishwasher. Amen. Right? You can clean it up. You can take it to the sink. You can wash it and clean it. And what happens, friends, if you and I are dirty, we've got sin in our lives, you can go to Jesus and you confess. Amen. And if we confess our faults to him, he is faithful and just to cleanse us. Amen. Right? He can make you clean. And so it's not that you're sinless, that you're perfect, that you never fall. It just means that you're keeping a short account with God and you're not pretending to be something else. Amen. Like when you're a witness and an ambassador for Jesus, you can tell people, listen, friend, I'm a sinner. Amen. And my only hope is Jesus. And I'm trying to live for him and he is changing me from the inside out. And yeah, I stumble sometimes. I'm not perfect, but he is making me new. He's making me new every day. So we want to be the right kind of ambassadors. We want to have the right kind of, we want to be the right kind of vessel. So we talked about what our message is and who we are, and then we talked about how we have to live our lives, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. So I want to have a clean lifestyle on the outside. Now, this lesson today, we really want to focus on the ambassador's method. I want to share with you some practicalities today about how to share the gospel, because we all want to tell people about Jesus. I think somewhere deep down in our heart, we want to be faithful witnesses, but sometimes we're like, I don't know how to do that. And just to be frank, sometimes we don't know how to do something because we've never seen it done. We learn a lot of things are better caught than taught. Does everybody understand what that means? Like, I can stand up here and tell you how to do evangelism all day long, but I promise you, you're going to learn more if you go do evangelism. And it's so much better when you can go with somebody who's got experience, who's done it, and you can learn with them. Remember that apprenticeship we talked about? So you get with somebody who's got experience, you go with them, and you watch and learn from them, and they help you, and then you take your turn, right? And there, it's better caught than taught. But I am going to give you some steps. I am going to give you some practicalities, and I hope that God will give us opportunities every week to put it in practice. The first step in evangelism. You guys ready? Step number one. Pray. Amen. Pray. Pray for the lost and pray for open doors. Evangelism begins before you ever talk to a lost person. Amen. Evangelism begins on your knees. Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 9:37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus, when he looked out at the multitudes that are lost, the first thing he says is pray. And what do we pray for? Well, first of all, we want to pray for laborers. We want to pray for people to go take the gospel to other people. Okay. Now, do you want to see missionaries go into the uttermost parts of the earth to preach the gospel? You pray for missionaries regularly? Okay. That's awesome. And I think you should do that. But you should also pray for people right here. Pray for one another in the church. Pray that God will raise up laborers to go into this harvest field too. The whole world's the harvest. Let's pray for people at home and abroad that we would go and be laborers in the harvest. Now, here's the catchy thing. It's hard for you because you don't want to be a hypocrite to pray for somebody else to go preach the gospel if you're not willing to go preach the gospel too. So here's what happens. It's a compounding effect. You're too scared, too insecure, too whatever to go preach the gospel, so you feel like a hypocrite if you're praying for somebody else to go preach the gospel, so you don't go do it, and you don't pray for them to do it. Well, that's a calamity. Amen. So what do we do? Well, I want to pray for others, and I want to go, so I'm going to pray for myself too. Amen. I'm going to pray for laborers, and I'm going to be one of those laborers, so I'm going to pray for myself. I'm going to ask God to help me to be a witness. You know, the Apostle Paul asked for that. Colossians 4:3 said, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. He prayed this. He asked for prayer a lot. Pray for us that we might be bold. There's a door and effectual that's opened on us. Pray for us that we can go and speak as we ought to speak. So pray for yourself. Pray for others. And of course, we want to pray for the lost. I'm going to pray for the lost. Now, we know the parable of the sower. Where does the parable, in the parable of the sower, where does he sow the seed? If there's some that falls on the wayside? Fertile ground? Stony ground? Thorns, the thorny ground. So what does that tell you? That means he sows the seed everywhere. And we understand that that's the parable. We understand that the point is that the seed is the word of God, the gospel. The heart, the soil is the hearts of men. And we know that in reality, you and I can't see anybody's heart. But just be honest. If you went and bought seed and you were going to plant it in your garden, would you just go out in your backyard, start at the back door, and start throwing seed everywhere between here and the garden? Throw it in the driveway, throw it on the sidewalk. You wouldn't do that, right? What would you do? You would clear a piece of ground, wouldn't you? You would cut down trees if you have to. You dig out the weeds. You get the rocks out. You would cultivate it. You would turn the soil. You would try to do everything you could to make good ground ready to receive the seed. Now, we can't see people's hearts, but God can. And friends, we can pray. We can pray for people's hearts. I can't change their heart, but God can. I can ask God to remove the stone from their heart. I can ask God to get the weeds out of their heart. I can ask God to soften their hardened heart. I can ask God to do that work in their heart so that when I go take the gospel to them, so I'm going to pray for myself, I'm going to pray for others, I'm going to pray for the lost, and I'm going to pray for the conversation. I'm going to pray that God will, what does he say? Open the door, a door of utterance. What am I saying? Okay, just real quick survey. How many of you have ever tried to go like door-to-door evangelism? You've done that? Gone out door-to-door? So many people in this room have done that. Praise God. You go door-to-door, and you never know, spiritually speaking, if the door is going to be open or not, right? Amen. You understand that. You knock on the door. I mean, I've had everything from go away to come on in. You know, you just never know. Amen. Somebody comes to the door, they open it a crack, they're scared to death, they don't understand, and sometimes the door is opened and they come out and they are open to hear about the gospel, and sometimes the door is literally shut. Amen. So what are we praying for? Not a literal door, but the door of their heart to be open. Amen. For God to do a work in their heart before we ever get there, that they would be receptive to the word of God. The only thing that could save anybody is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they cannot call on him if they don't believe in him. They can't believe in him if they haven't heard, and they can't hear if they won't hear. So we need to pray that God would stir up their heart. I think prayer changes things. You guys think prayer changes things?
Amen.
I think one of the main things that prayer changes is me. The one praying.
Amen.
You start praying for the lost, God will give you a heart for the lost.
Amen.
Start praying for the lost, and God will give you a heart for the lost. So the first thing we want to do is pray. Number two, you ready? Start a conversation.
Amen.
Start a conversation. You're never going to be able to preach the gospel to somebody. You're never going to be able to proclaim the good news to them unless you talk to them. So you're going to have to start a conversation. It's crazy how we make this so difficult. But most of you have had a conversation with a stranger before.
Amen.
Right, haven't you?
Amen.
We know AJ has had lots of conversations with all kinds of people. But some of you are not as outgoing as AJ is. Does that mean you're off the hook? Well, I don't have to do evangelism because I'm an introvert. You know, I can't find that anywhere in the scriptures. Extroverts and introverts are not biblical things. They're not biblical things. You guys are listening to Freud more than you are Jesus. I'm an introvert. I can't do that. That's nonsense. I promise you this, and I love you, and I'm trying to help you. You're not going to kneel before King Jesus today and say, I'm sorry I didn't tell anybody about you, but Lord, you made me an introvert. It's really your fault. It's not going to work, friends.
Amen.
No, he's going to say, did you love me? Because I loved you. Did you love me?
Amen.
Did I give you my spirit to go and do the work or not?
Amen.
Did I give you the gospel so you could understand it and share it or not? Friends, we are going to be without excuse. And I'm trying to help you. If we're going to be evangelists, if we're going to be ambassadors, we have to start conversations with people. You just have to talk to them. Think about Jesus. You guys remember the woman at the well? It's in John chapter 4. He goes out of his way to go to Samaria, to go to Sychar, to the well of Jacob. And he goes there because he has to. He says, I need to go that way. And we get to see it, right? He had a divine appointment there. So while he's sitting on the well, he's tired. The woman comes to draw water when nobody else is out there drawing water. We know the whole story. But what happens? Jesus just says, give me to drink.
Amen.
He doesn't have a pitcher to draw water with. She does. And he says, give me to drink. He just talks to her about water. And he takes that opportunity at the well to talk about water to tell her about the living water himself. Okay? There is great lessons for us in that. Now, you guys can go and talk about just about anything under the sun. I mean, everybody in this room has talked about the weather. We're in Oklahoma, for crying out loud. You know that in the middle of the month, it's either going to be a snowstorm or a tornado.
Amen.
Or nothing. I mean, it's already all the talk, right?
Amen.
Somewhere on around the 18th, the weather's going to change. I'm like, you guys get paid way too much money to tell everybody the weather's going to change. Of course the weather's going to change. But, you know, you could talk to people about the weather. And you could take a conversation about the weather and turn it into a conversation about Jesus.
Amen.
You get that? Some of you guys love old cars. Did you know you could talk about an old car and about restoring it and making it new? And you could use that to talk about Jesus?
Amen.
There's nothing under the sun on this planet that you can't use to turn into a conversation about Jesus. So I'm just saying, start a conversation with somebody. With somebody. I love it when Paul goes to Mars Hill and he preaches there. He walks by on the way up there. He sees all of their devotions to all their gods. And along the way, he noticed one that was to the unknown God. Can you just imagine that? Just dozens of idols. The God of the sun, the God of the moon, the God of the dirt, the God of the worms, the God of the frogs. Like, I mean, it's just everything you can think of. And they're like, oh, in case we missed one, the unknown God. And so as he's walking up and he gets up to speak, he says, you guys are too religious. You guys are too superstitious. I saw that you got one out there to the unknown God. Let me tell you about the God you don't know.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
And he goes all the way back to the creation and preaches Jesus to them. So start a conversation with people. Let's see. What are some things that we can start a conversation? You guys have any ideas? How can you start a conversation with a stranger? Food. What did you have to eat for lunch today? Sounds like me going to the doctor, AJ. What did you eat today? Okay, food. Jesus talked to that lady about water. And he talked about the bread from heaven. It's good. What else? Conversation starters.
Politics.
Yeah, that'll start it off right. Can you take politics, the condition of politics in America today, and turn it into a conversation about God?
Sure.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy transition. Look at politics today. We need Jesus.
Amen.
I love it. Here's a crazy one. Hi, How are you today? Here's one of my favorite ones. Hey, did you get one of these? Yeah, I'm amazed. Of course, there's not a lot of people giving out gospel tracts these days like they used to. And I, so many times when I hand one of these out, people say, "What is it? What is it?" It's a gospel tract. I mean, if I say the word gospel, I'm there. Right? I have opened the door to a conversation about the gospel because I said the word gospel. Gospel tracts are awesome ways to start conversations. You can ask them all kinds of questions, and that's number three. Start a conversation with somebody. Be friendly. Just talk to people. And we're talking a lot about strangers, but you and I, we need to witness to our family too, don't we?
Amen.
Our friends,
Amen.
Coworkers, classmates,
Amen.
Like people. We don't just give gospel to strangers, people we never met before. We give the gospel to people we know as well. Okay, so number three, step number three is ask diagnostic questions. For me, this is really important. It's something I learned from the evangelism explosion, and I think this is really helpful to me. Maybe it will be to you too. One of the questions they like to ask people is, have you come to the place in your thinking where you know for certain that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? And you can word it however you want to, but the thing is this. You've talked to them about something. You start a conversation. Now you need to turn the conversation to the spiritual, which is exactly what Jesus did, right?
Amen.
Give me to drink. You don't have any water. You don't have anything to draw water with. How are you going to do that? You know what I mean? And then he turns the conversation. If you had any idea who you were talking to, you would have asked for living water. And so he takes the conversation and turns it from the mundane to the eternal, and we're going to have to do that too. Hey, man, how about this weather? How about those politics? How about those Patriots? They won the Super Bowl. 6 times in the past. Okay, I get it. There's all kinds of stuff we could talk about, but at some point, I've got to change the conversation to spiritual things, things that actually matter.
Amen.
Right? Do you know for sure? Hey, can I ask you a spiritual question? Do you know? Are you absolutely sure that if you die today, you go to heaven? You can ask that question. Or, this is one I like better. If you were to die today and you stood before God in judgment and he said to you individually, Seth, if you died today and God said, why should I let you into my kingdom, what would you say? Jesus. Amen. In a word. But to ask them, if you were judged by God, why would he let you into heaven? I love to ask that question because it's going to show me where they're at. What are they trusting in? Well, I think I've been a good person. I got baptized. Whatever. He wouldn't. There's a lot of people who have said he wouldn't. He wouldn't let me into heaven. And so we're going to ask diagnostic questions. And let me give you this. This is part of step three, asking the question. You ready? This is really important. Listen to their answer. Sometimes when we do evangelism, we're so scared and nervous and our nerves are all worked up. We're just like rambling. Blah. And it's like trying to give them a drink out of a fire hydrant. Like it's just too much. But what we have to do is slow down and listen, because you've asked them a question and the way they answer is going to help you figure out where they're at in their spiritual life, whether they're saved, whether they're lost, whether they have any clue about God or not. But these diagnostic questions are really good. You can't really address where their heart is until you understand where their trust is.
Amen.
Are they trusting in themselves? Are they trusting in their religion? Are they trusting in Christ alone? So ask questions. Number four. I wanted to show you this. It's in Acts chapter 17 and verse 24. I mentioned Paul going to Mars Hill a while ago, but look at Acts 17, 24. I want you to see this. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Verse 25, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he has given to all life and breath and all things. Now, I want you to get this, because there's a clear distinction in the scriptures. In the early days of the gospel, when Jesus and his disciples went out preaching the gospel, they took the gospel to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Everybody get that? Okay, now the Jews believed in God. The Jews believed the Old Testament. The Jews had no problem understanding that there was one God who created all things. He gave them the law. He gave them the promises through Abraham and through David. So they weren't trying to figure out whether there's even a God or not. But when you get to the Gentiles and Paul starts preaching to them, it's altogether different because these people believe in all kinds of gods. And they don't understand that there's one true God who created all things. And can I tell you, in our society today, we're not dealing with like preaching the gospel to the Jews, to a bunch of people who know the Bible and already believe in God. We're dealing with a lot of people who don't even know if there is a God or not.
Amen.
And so we need to follow this pattern and we need to tell them the story of the Bible. And I think when you talk to people today and give the gospel to them, you need to do exactly like Paul did here. You need to go all the way back to the creation and say, the God who created everything. And there's an understanding in people's hearts that are reasonable, who haven't suppressed the truth in their unrighteousness. I think most reasonable people in the world today understand that there is a creator. Even Elon Musk has recently said that he believes there's a creator. Why? Well, he's a reasonable person. He's not suppressed the truth in his unrighteousness. He's not a saved man. You should pray for him to be saved. But I want you to get that. Like, most people understand that. They understand there's a creator. And so you go back to creation and you walk them through the story of the Bible. Do you know the story of the Bible? Do you understand that God created everything in absolute perfection without sin? And that when man sinned against God, he brought sin and death into the world. And that curse is passed on all of us. That's why there's sin, sorrow, and death in the world today. And that God from the beginning made a plan of redemption because he sent his son Jesus to pay for our sins. Everybody kind of still with me right now? Okay, what I want to do is I'm going to ask them diagnostic questions, listen to them, figure out where they're at. Then I'm going to try to walk them through the story of the Bible. I want them to see creation. I want them to see the fall of mankind. And I want them to see the promised Messiah and how Jesus fulfilled those promises. I think God's ingrained these things in the hearts of everybody. I believe that every person on the planet knows that there is a God. He's put the knowledge of himself in their heart. So you've got an ally. God's given them a conscience, and you can appeal to that. I also believe this. I believe there's a longing in the heart of every person on this planet for a Savior.
Amen.
Have you ever noticed the stories around the globe are the same? There's always somebody who's going to come and rescue everyone. I think people who don't even believe in God, there's always a hero to the story. I think it's just something that's in us, in our nature, that God's put there. And what's awesome is he did it. He sent the hero. He sent the one and only, his only begotten son who paid the price for our sin. He gave life through his death. He sacrificed everything for us. Jesus is the hero, the Savior. And so I'm going to walk through the story of the Bible, and I'm going to do this. Number five, I want to use the law to appeal to the conscience. I want to use the law to appeal to the conscience. Paul said this in Romans 7, I had not known sin but by the law. He said, the law revived and I died. What does that mean? The law brings conviction of sin. So we want to use the law lawfully. Galatians chapter 3 tells us the law is our schoolmaster or our tutor to bring us to Christ. So the law shows us that we haven't attained. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I think Jesus did that. Do you remember the question he asked the woman at the well? He said, go call thy husband. What'd she say? I ain't got one of those. He said, I know you've had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. What did he do? He confronted her sin. And he did that, and I think we need to do that too. You guys know that you've been around here long enough. I like to use the way of the master, what they teach, and using the Ten Commandments in that way. Ask somebody, have they ever lied? How many lies do you think you've told in your life? Have you ever stolen anything? Have you always honored your parents? Have you ever used God's name in vain? You guys still with me right now? You know, I've been saved a long time, and those are still convicting to me. Does the law still convict you? Jesus said, if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked with lust? Have you ever used the name of God or Jesus as a cuss word? I mean, those things are convicting to me.
Amen.
And so we use the law to bring conviction of sin. We want people to understand that they're guilty. That they're guilty. Why? Because we need people to understand their loss before they'll be saved. You have to know that you have a disease before you'll appropriate the cure. So it's law to the proud, grace to the humble. When somebody's broken by their sin and they are humbled by their sin and need for a Savior, then step number 6 is proclaim the good news clearly. Amen. Proclaim the good news clearly. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. It's the gospel that saves us. If we trust in him, we're saved by the gospel, unless our faith is empty. If faith without works is dead, being alone, so our faith could be messed up. But if we sincerely trust in Christ, then we have everlasting life. Now we give them the gospel. Now, I share with you a couple of ways to do that, but you guys help me out real quick. Where are some scriptures that we can go to clearly share the gospel with somebody? Roman Road. You guys remember it? We covered it a few weeks ago. What's the first stop on the Roman Road? Okay, Romans 3, there's 3:10, but 3:23 is the main one most people go to. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we go to 6:23, which is the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we show them we've all sinned. We show them the wages, the penalty of sin is death. And then we can move to the good news, eternal life through Christ. Amen. And then what's the next one? 5:8, which says, but God commendeth his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God demonstrated, God proved his love for us. Even though we're sinners, he died for us. And then Romans 10. 9, 10, 13, or you could just say 9 through 13. And we understand that with the heart man believes to righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Good. What's another verse I can go to share the gospel clearly? John 3:16. It's got it all, doesn't it? It's for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And in what way did he give him? As the payment, the propitiation for our sin. He died. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we understand that it gives us the whole story. His love, his sacrifice, the way you're saved is through belief, through faith, and you get eternal life. And you don't have to go to hell. You don't perish. You don't die separated from God. So Romans Road, John 3:16, lots of places we can go and we can share Christ. So we proclaim the good news. Step number seven, call for a response. Remember Jesus came preaching, repent and believe the gospel? Jesus always preached for a response. He always expected that. The times of this ignorant, Paul preached in Acts 17:30, the times of this ignorant God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He wants us to call for a response and then follow up. It's my experience, guys, that people normally don't get saved the first time you give the gospel to them. Most of the time, we're all really hard-hearted and hard-headed. We had to hear the gospel lots and lots of times before we finally repented and trusted in Jesus. And so don't expect the first time you knock on somebody's door or sit down with somebody in the lunchroom that you're going to give them the gospel and they're going to fall down and say, what must I do to be saved? It doesn't normally happen. It does sometimes, praise God. But just understand that it may take time, right? They might have questions. You might have to talk to them many, many times before they come to repentance and faith. So what we're doing is, this isn't just a one-time deal. Like, I gave him the gospel, that's a check mark. I've done my job, I'm going to go on. No, we want to invest in people. We want to follow up with people. So I'm going to call for a response, but I'm going to stay connected. And that can look different depending on the relationship. But I just want you to, like, Like maybe it's somebody you meet on the street and you say, hey, I want to invite you to come to church with me. You can sit with me at church. Or, hey, I want to invite you to our men's Bible study on Monday night, whatever it is. But try to create a connection with them. Amen. Maybe it's somebody you work with and you can just say, hey, how about this? How about you and I just start looking at some things in the Bible together on our lunch break? We'll just take a little 15, 20 minutes on our lunch break and we'll look at the scriptures together. Whatever it is, try to make connections so that you can stay in touch with somebody. So, 7 steps of evangelism. Nothing earth-shattering here, but just some things to remember. What do we start with? Praying. We start with prayer. What's the next big thing that we have to do? We got to talk to people. Just start a conversation. And then the next thing you do in that conversation, you're going to ask diagnostic questions, which the whole point of that is to switch the conversation to the things of God. And remember, guys, you're going to have to know your Bible. You're going to have to be able to walk through the story of Scripture with them. Now, I gave you some homework. I asked you guys to write the gospel in your own words that you could share with somebody in 60 seconds or less. I gave you that homework, I think, 3 weeks ago. We had a week off, and then I gave you an extra week because I'm just that kind of nice guy that I am. But how many of you can say today, I did that, I wrote it down, I've written the gospel in my own words now? It's not boasting, I'm asking, I'm putting you on the spot. Okay. If you haven't done that, I'm begging you to do that. And it's really important that you're able to articulate the gospel in your own words. Why? Because it's not just about regurgitating what somebody else said. It's not just taking what we've written in our gospel tracts that we publish. It's not just being able to recite that. It's being able to articulate the truth in your own words, because God's going to use you. It's the same message, but we're different vessels, aren't we? Okay. I don't know if you guys know this. Melissa and I, we've been married for 22 years, and I've learned over 22 years of marriage that Melissa and I are very different. It took me that long to figure it out, Philip. We're very different. You understand that if Melissa shares the gospel with somebody, she's going to communicate to somebody differently than I would? It's the same message, but we just think different. We talk different. And that's good, because God wants to use all of us. So put it in your own words. Now, here's the challenge for today, for this week. I want to challenge you to take that gospel you took in your own words, and I want you to send it to somebody. You can take it and put it in a card. Write it in a card. Well, there you go. It's already ready to mail. Take a picture of it so you don't lose it. You can write it down in a card and mail it to somebody. You could type it up in a text and text it to somebody. You could type it up in one of your social media apps and send it to them. Whatever it is, email, whatever. I want to challenge you to pray about it and to find somebody that you can send it to, at least one person. Send that personal gospel to one person. I've got somebody in mind I'm going to share with you so you can pray about it. I grew up in Braggs, and one of the guys I grew up with in school, we lived just down the road from each other. His dad just passed away this past week, and he's been on my heart since I found that out. But, guys, when I was living in Braggs, I got saved later. I'd already transferred schools. I didn't get saved until I left that town. And all of my friends that I grew up with, I have no idea if any of them are saved, really, unless they're on social media and they talk about Jesus. I have never had opportunity or sought out opportunity to share the gospel individually with those guys. And so this guy, his dad just passed away. I'm gonna send the gospel to him. So you pray about that, because I want him to know that there's hope for eternal life. So send the gospel presentation that you wrote up to somebody else. Now, last time we talked about this, be friendly to people everywhere you go. What were you supposed to be doing with gospel tracts the last couple of weeks? Just leave them somewhere for somebody else to find. Just leave them somewhere. And then the other thing I asked you to do was to think about current events and how you could turn those things into the gospel. So did anybody do that? You thought about any current events?
More Bibles were sold in 2025 in this country than in the prior 100 years. said that church attendance across the nation is up by about 60-70%. Conversions, and I don't know through what or what type, were up 50%. I mean, he was saying this stuff as his speaker, like, I don't know how long. I just got the tail end of it, but I mean, there's something right there.
Yeah. Yeah, and you think that people in this country, whatever side of the aisle they might be on, you could talk to them about Trump speaking at the prayer breakfast, and wherever they land about Trump or anything else, you could still use that headline and certainly turn it into the gospel, right?
Amen.
Good. Anybody else? Right.
Amen.
Amen. Peace is coming. Peace is available. So continue to do that. Now, next step. Here's the challenge. I've been asking you to take gospel tracts, leave them places where people can find them. I've been asking you to be friendly to people and just, you know, smile and say hi to whoever. But here's the next level is I want you to at least one person this week, as you're going around your day and you're being friendly to people, have gospel tracts with you. And when you say hi to somebody, have a good day, how are you today, give them a gospel tract. Just hand one of these to another human being this week. That's it. You've been leaving them places for people to find. Now you're going in the store, you see somebody coming out, you just pull out your gospel tract and say, hey, can I give you something to read? Or, hey, can I give you some good news? Everybody cool? Everybody all right? Anybody having heart palpitations yet? Okay. Just keep being friendly. Keep leaving them wherever you can, but at least one person this week, hand them a gospel tract. And if you're looking for an easy way to do this, everybody ready? I'm giving this to you. This is like open book, easy. Go to McDonald's. Go through the drive-thru. Get gospel tracts out there, the thank you tracts. Go to the first window, give them your debit card, and then give them a gospel tract. And then you drive up to the next window, right? And just give them a gospel tract. And if you've never done that before, maybe that's super scary to you. Some of you guys have been doing stuff like that your whole lives. But for some of you, this is a big deal, just to give something to another human being. But just think about what you're doing. When you give somebody a gospel tract, you're literally giving them the hope of eternal life in their hand. And if they'll read it and they'll trust in Jesus, eternity is different for them and their family, maybe to many generations. So that's the challenge today. If you haven't written out your gospel presentation that you can share in 60 seconds or less, do that and then send it to somebody this week. And then as you go around, give a gospel tract to at least one person. Let's stand together. I understand that on a Sunday afternoon, I'm talking to people who pray regularly. But can you confess with me this afternoon? I don't pray as much or as well as I should. In other words, I pray, but my prayer life could be better.
Amen.
One of the reasons we're not effective in evangelism is because we're not faithful in our prayers. So I'm committing to you to strive to do better now, and I ask you to make the same commitment. I'm going to be more diligent to pray for laborers. I'm going to be more diligent to pray for the lost. And I'm asking you to join me in that. Today and every day, as part of my prayers, I'm going to pray for laborers for the harvest, and I'm going to pray for the harvest. That God will use Calvary Missionary Baptist Church in Muldrow, Oklahoma, to make a difference for the kingdom. And I, guys, just think about this for one second. The Sunday afternoon crowd, you look around, the amount of people that are here, just imagine if in the next 6 months, each one of us could reach one person. Just one. What a difference that would make for the kingdom.
Amen.
Thank you for being here. Let's pray together. And as we pray and we are dismissed this afternoon, I'm going to ask Brother Bill Don, if you would, to dismiss us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, so much for your blessings. We thank you for the word that stood right across today. Thank you for him and his family. Pray, dear Lord, you help us as we see the need. We know what we need to do. Help us to be the kind of people you want us to be. Pray that you be with all those that prayer requests have been made for today. Pray, dear Lord, that you know best what is needed in each life. Us to remember to pray more, pray harder, pray in a way that we could help bring others to you. Thank you, dear Lord, for all that you do for us. And as we go home, please carry us safely and bring us back here again to your house. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.